This is Chuck Bowman. I'm the chairman of the committee.
Mike Francis, Westland Police.
Paseth Pitch, Public Affairs Officer, Tuolumne Valley Fire and Rescue.
Grant Oaks, member of the board.
Okay.
Christine Steele, committee member.
David Baker, resident of Westland.
Dennis Ritchie, board member.
Tom Friedland, board member.
Okay, thank you for that. As I said, the minutes are actually online, so if you want to know what happened at the last meeting, go online and find those, and they'll give them to you. I want to say, first of all, thank you to Thomas for running the meeting last month, covering me. I was in a situation where I couldn't be here, and I appreciate Thomas, all the effort you put into that. On our old business, going to just kind of go through this. You've got it on your agenda there. But want to say another thank you to you guys for the safety fair. I thought it was a great event. I had a great time there. I sat with the police department.
That was definitely a joint effort. So
we had a lot of fun.
Yeah. So thanks to everybody.
But Bill, good, very good. I got a lot of positive feedback from the people who talked to me about it. Thought it was well worthwhile. I've had a couple of phone calls since then, just saying, "Hey, this is a great idea," and told them it was you guys that took the lead in it, and we appreciate
it. There were a lot of people from Rotary there that helped set up and
yeah.
keep down
yeah.
and
yeah.
afterwards.
Yeah. 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 They did all the organizing.
Yeah.
For what it's worth, there was a debriefing that, I was ill, but I got the minutes from the debriefing as part of the emergency preparedness fair, so I can share that with the board.
Okay.
I'll have to see if I didn't. It's written down somewhere, but I'll send it out.
Okay.
And then I can share as new business kind of what the plan is moving forward for that.
Okay. Very good. Okay, first item on our old business is Map Your Neighborhood. I just can get an update from you as to how we're doing with that. It sounds like it's moving great and we're doing well.
We had a little over 50 people sign up as being interested in doing something with that. Denny and I sent out emails, follow-up to that, all those people. I got an immediate response from one person, which I thought was on the ball. Well, I haven't seen anything since. But
yeah, and I got two.
That's not surprising. So then Denny organized a workshop at the library last week, and we had four people show up for that, and we put down their names and addresses, and the first thing that I did when I got home is I sent each of them a map of their neighborhood.
Cool.
Just to start them off on the right track.
Yeah, and they were all pretty gung-ho.
All pretty gung-ho. Well, we've got one lady who's already got hers organized for the weekend of the 5th or the 6th or whatever that she's going to be running in her neighborhood. Came by and picked up brochures today. So that was Heather at the Galilee. Actually, she doesn't live within the city limits, but she lives within the 97068 area.
Zone.
Over off of Stafford Road. By the bridge, New Bridge, what the heck's I call it?
Yeah.
Greenway Circle. It's those houses along the river
right.
on the Westland side.
Mm-hmm.
And she was pumped and she left the meeting and got back to me right away. And so came by today, picked the house. They already organized the neighborhood. They're going to do it. And bingo.
Okay.
Yeah, we expected a whole lot more people for that workshop, but timing was the problem. When I called to get various things covered, I was out of town, came back, and thought it was all done, and I had talked to Lori on her last day, and she had called the paper, she called a few people, but it didn't show up anywhere.
Okay.
So
we need to
a
work
lot of the PR that we had that was supposed to go out didn't get where it was supposed to go, or
okay.
got crossed up somewhere. The next workshop is going to be the 23rd, the Monday before Thanksgiving. It's already on the library list, and hopefully, does anybody know who's covering the PR in the city now? Do we have anybody doing that?
It doesn't look like it. I don't see anything new being posted on social media.
Lori's gone.
Some stuff's being posted, so I don't know if that falls back to Kirsten or if that falls back to
Yeah, anybody. Probably be Kirsten or anything that you need posted, I can post to our page. And the city usually retweets ours. So if you send me an email with what you want out and when, I'll put it out.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay, so we got that resolved as to promotion for the next one?
Yeah, I'm gonna call the paper and try and get them to cover it.
Okay. I thought they did a nice job on the safety fair thing.
Yeah.
There's a lot of heavy lifting for that, though.
I had three people call me and ask me how I could get them a picture of the photography that was made of them. They were there and Vern took their picture. And they saw me talking to him, so they said, well, you know him, can you get me that picture? I was like, yeah, nice try.
One of the things that we talked about, I can jump in on Denny, is making a presentation to City Council again about what we had done, and just to get some extra PR.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the mayor and his wife had, they didn't map your neighborhood in their neighborhood. It'd be a great time to walk in there with a bucket and present that to them.
Right.
If we could somehow arrange.
Yeah, well, we can get actually three members of the council have done the meetings.
Yeah.
Thomas, Jenny, and Russ. So walk in with three buckets and
make a presentation.
At a meeting. I think that's a great idea.
So you want to take care of that? Making a presentation to them.
I don't know how you get on your agenda. How do you do that? I've never taken the responsibility of.
Call
Kristen.
Say we want to make a presentation to the city, the council.
Yeah.
They'll put you on the agenda.
Well, I'm assuming who's the contact?
Email Kristen Wyatt.
Kristen, I can probably call them.
Isn't Kristen working as the interim city manager?
There's an interim.
We have an interim, but she's still the assistant.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know who the interim is then.
She was kind of the go-to person before Lori came on board.
Yeah.
So
okay.
I'd probably go to her again. Okay.
All right. Second item on our agenda. First of all, is there any more on Nap Your Neighborhood?
Just a question. Grant, how many to date then have we been able to train? How many people? Just curious.
Total from the time we started the program, you mean?
Since recently,
we haven't had a whole lot of luck about the whole thing. We started out pretty heavy. When we first started this thing, we had 15, 16 neighbors post right off, first crack off the bat, did that. And then it's sort of gone down. We probably got on that map maybe 20, 22, something like that.
There's some that aren't on the map.
Yeah. But then we've had some recent ones just come back in. Mayor and his wife, or I say she did it, actually he didn't do it. That was all up to her. And a gal up on Barrington Heights ran it in her neighborhood.
Is that her?
No, it was one of the neighborhood adjacent to Barrington, but it's part of Barrington. I can't remember the name of it right
now. Did you get pretty good turnout at the fair itself, didn't you, in your sessions, in the two sessions?
Yeah, well, the first one I started out really slow. By the time I got done and restarted it three times, the room was full, so.
Oh, okay. I was just curious. Yeah.
Yeah, mine was one of the late presentations, and I think I had a half a dozen people in.
Nice.
Yeah. But the crowd was really thinning at that one. So
towards the end.
Okay, well, let me jump from there to the next item on our agenda, which is related to it. There was some discussion about us co-oping with somebody else on production of materials for that, because we were no longer going to get them free of charge.
Well, I wonder, has anybody verified that?
Well, I've got an email.
We got the email from the gal in Wilsonville.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She said we were faster than she was, so.
But I can't believe the state would back out of it, given all the publicity that they've and the involvement that they've had, why they would stop printing materials to fulfill the mission that they've just assigned to themselves. Got this whole emergency preparedness stuff going on with the state where they've identified which all the emergency preparedness people, what their area responsibilities are and everything like that.
Are we
talking about
producing the materials for the Map Your Neighborhood?
Oh, okay.
For the Map Your Neighborhood.
That booklet thing.
You know what it is.
Yeah, the Map Your Neighborhood booklet. Not we're not talking about the, never mind. Not the shakeout one, but that one.
And I'd say it sort of boggles my mind at this point in time that they would quit doing that.
Especially after the state audit of that bureau really jumped on for not doing it.
Who did
spending you get money and not really having anything to show for it? I would think that they'd be eager.
Who did the email come from?
I haven't gotten on
my phone. It was a publicity gal from
Wilsonville.
So
publicity director or something.
Community activity or something like that.
I will put you in with, and I think his name's, I think it's like General or Lieutenant Colonel, I can't remember his name, but he's in charge of the Oregon Emergency Management
Wilsonville.
For the state.
Oh, for the state.
And so let me at least, maybe his office might have the information on what the actual truth is and what it's not. So if I can get you guys I have the contact information. I'll get it to
you two
gentlemen.
I can just call up the gal that I picked him up at the out by the jail.
To county?
The county.
See what they have to say.
And yeah, she said, well, we had lots of things last time we went out there.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's do this. Can we make sure we're pinned down by the next meeting as to if there's materials available? And if so, how we access them, that kind of thing?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay,
Denny. You know that. And also, something that's related to that is we might, you know, anything about the grant that we put in for? That we put in for a $10,000 county grant.
I don't, and I know that Stradley, and I think you guys were talking about that before.
He handled whatever to the
and
county.
This literally, him having not being here was a 2 hour ago decision,
yeah.
So I wasn't briefed on anything that he was going to talk about. So I'm going to suggest anything that he has, you guys communicate before the next meeting, and that things like the sat phone, those type of things, I think that were in his bailiwick.
Right.
If we can move those to the November meeting, then that way he can participate, because I just don't have the information to give you.
Okay. Does that answer the question then as to materials?
So who's going to contact?
Denny was going to pursue that.
I'll check.
Okay.
I'll check tomorrow.
Okay.
I'll see if I can scrape up that email again.
I'll send it to you.
Okay, I got
I'll
it.
Send him
I know I got
I've
it.
Got
so.
The one that came from Wilsonville.
Oh,
yes.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yes. I got it.
You still have that?
Yeah.
Can you copy me back on that, please?
Yeah. Just
I sent a copy of Julie Parrott and asked her if she would follow up. Apparently, she hasn't done it.
Just remind me at the end, after we get through it here. I got it on my phone, actually.
So could we communicate if Denny has a brick wall with the county source? Maybe Mike could go ahead and send the contact to the state, and Brent could call him so that we have, you know,
two sources,
an action item and a fallback action item. Because I feel bad that this query from the person in Wilsonville came a month ago, and we've waited a month to bring it up for this meeting, and it may be another month before we, you know.
Again,
and then that's 8 weeks, and so just to kind of move this along until our next.
I called her back, and then she wasn't in the office. She called me back and left a message, and I've called three times. Just is all I get is her voicemail, so I've really not talked to her directly. So
that's all I'm saying is we can have an action item. If that doesn't fall through, or if that falls through, then Brent can try to guide the state level.
Supposedly been in contact with her. Try to get in contact.
Well, pretty much an arm's length.
Okay. Well, if when I get that email, I'll try it too. So.
Is this just all we're talking about is the Map Your Neighborhood booklet?
This is a booklet, and she had suggested that the entities that we're using get together and fund the printing of the new ones, reprinting of the ones that we've been getting from the state.
Okay, so I'm just going to bypass sending you it. Tomorrow, I'll call the colonel's office, whoever this guy is. I just know he's a lieutenant colonel or whatever. I'll call him. I'll find out what the deal is. If they've got them and they're still printing them, I'll follow that back up to both of you guys with an email. If they aren't following up, I'm going to find out a contact person who can do printing, and then you guys can follow up with how do we get it done, if that works for you guys.
Yeah,
okay.
And I'll still call the gal at the county, because she may have a stash of them out there.
Okay.
So, Mike, the point of her email originally was to group the printing orders with different agencies.
Okay.
So she's already trying.
Okay.
That, so you may not need to do printing.
Okay. Just find out if they have it.
But just find out, just verify, is this true, the state's not going to print these?
Cool. Got it.
Okay. And I just gave Grant the email that we got from Angela in Wilsonville, so.
I just sent it to me.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay.
Okay. I'm going to assume that we kind of covered the where you guys are going with Map Your Neighborhood in future presentations. Next area, item of business is about our bucket. And I had a question about it. I was kind of in the dark as to where are we, what are we doing, how's this going. I got an email from Denny. I appreciated Denny's input into it because he's kind of said, here's where we are. I also got an email from Rebecca Horn, and I know Becky, so I appreciated her input into where I didn't realize we had gotten buckets from any place other than just one source. So I understand you purchased some, and I want to personally say thank you for doing that.
Yeah, no worries.
So,
and that was the coming back into town, I was given a bunch of misinformation that the orange buckets were being handed out from the closet. And my comment, I went to edit it and wipe it out, and it hit send instead. So.
Water under the bridge.
I made an ass
blue buckets.
Myself.
Yeah, that's all right.
Apologize for it, and you know.
Water under the bridge. Blue buckets were handed out down there, and it was a great program. I did the what's in your bucket type thing. It was great. Gave out a bunch of buckets, and absolutely, and people were excited about it. Zero people actually participated in the drawing for anything. So it was cheap in the end because I didn't have to pay for a $100 bag from. From Red Cross, it worked out well for me. It was a great experiment, but so.
Well, I'm glad that it worked out for you. Okay.
And there's 50 buckets, Lowe's buckets out there running around with the Westland Police Department and PSA
someday,
stuff's on there. So.
Do something.
Exactly. Yeah. Brine a turkey in it. All right. Thanksgiving's coming.
Okay. Thanks, Mike. Okay, so I hope we got that all straight. Everybody's kind of on the same page as to what we're doing and how we're doing it.
I would have a comment.
Yeah, go ahead.
Get off the buckets, though. Something that I think would be very inexpensive to add, and it would basically be the cost of a piece of paper and another one of those Ziploc quart-sized baggies, and that is a sheet that just has important telephone contact information, whether it's for, and we can design something, or maybe there's something out there like next of kin and doctors and public emergency numbers or non-emergency numbers. And not that it has to be the be-all, end-all form, but maybe a trigger, because we got some resources in our bags, at the preparedness fair, and there was something called an emergency passport or something like that. Mm-hmm. But just a reminder, I think I've seen things like copies of your birth certificate, or I don't know how comfortable people are making copies and putting them in their emergency bucket. But just that one other item that we could add to that bucket that would be pretty inexpensive.
Yeah, there's one other one that I really liked it, and I was going to get online and see if I could find it online. It's a water treatment sheet, two sides, and it's got all kinds of different ways of treating and storing drinking water. And it's one of the best handouts I had about 200 of them there.
Yeah.
And they were gone halfway through the fair, and I forgot to keep a copy.
Oh, I think I might have some of those. Was it color photocopy?
Yeah.
And like blue bottles of water on it?
I think so. Yes.
I may have copies of that.
So to your suggestion, we have red mercy cards that are already preprinted that we offer to the community. Mm-hmm. We can certainly have those. Every piece of information you suggested is on those cards.
That'd be great.
They, for the citizens in general, we actually recommend that you put those up on your refrigerator.
Yeah.
So that when our crews arrive, or when law enforcement arrives, and patients unconscious and responsive,
mm-hmm.
And family doesn't really know what's going on, that the first responders can actually look at that. So you can include one in the bucket for sure. Because again, the same situation applies in a major disaster.
Great.
Patients unconscious and responsive, you can look at the bucket too. So we have hundreds of those we can provide.
And then the water information we also have on our website under our emergency and disaster preparedness stuff. And the same with the city too in Clackamas County. So all those are available. They're just digital versions. And so if you want to print some of those out, I think the resources are just a matter of printing.
Yeah, because I'm going to have about $41.50 left over out of that $2,500. And the way it's set up, if I'd known it was going to be set up this way, I'm not sure I would have gone into it. Rotary got the money, $1,500, from the police. They deposited in their fund, and then they applied for, they could only get $1,000 originally, thought it would be matching. So we had $2,500, and getting that out, they wrote the grant without our input, and the grant said that those who were at this last preparedness fair would get the buckets. And that was not, finally they found out what I wrote in my application for the grant that was totally different, you know, and they backed off that. But it's been really contentious trying to get it so that we could go about our original intent. It's gone around in circles for some time, but it's finally straightened out. Rebecca Horn actually got it dropped in her lap. And
okay.
So she was trying to find out how.
No, it's okay.
At first she was real hard, like, you got to do it this way, you got to do it this way. And I met with her and I said, look, was never the intent, you know. And I showed her the original copies and she backed off and she said, okay, but, you know, this is National that is actually making the grant.
Right.
And so that's how it was written. So we've got to kind of stay within those parameters. That's why I really want to get these buckets going out, because theoretically, we're supposed to have most of them out by the end of December, but our local Rotary backed off of that.
Okay.
So,
good.
So, I will be responsible for getting those added sheets together, get them to you, because you've already done so much. Do you like me to do that?
I would
to
love
do
it.
The legwork on that?
I would love it. Thank you.
So I heard three, but I only was able to write down two. One is the emergency sheet available from TVFNR.
And I have lots of those. So
where do I go?
I can bring them to you, or you can pick them from my office, either way.
And your office is where?
Station 56, North Wilsonville, right off the Lexington Road, right across from Costco. And
okay.
How often are you by here?
Here in Westland?
Right here by this police station.
Oh, whenever you tell me to come up here.
That should be a good place to drop it off here, and then you can pick it up.
I'd be happy to.
Could you
yes.
Just drop off?
How many would you like?
What do we want? We have 100 buckets, so maybe 150 or,
yeah.
You know,
okay.
So we have them,
yeah. Sure.
We have
yeah.
Them to hand out to other people, too.
I'll bring those by tomorrow.
And
yeah.
That. Okay, and then the water treatment sheet, I think I have, and I will verify with you that that's the correct one.
Good.
And what was the third one? The third item?
You know, in the water treatment sheet, I would love to have it laminated. But if we get three sheets, we could put them in one of those plastic bags.
I can print you 150 of those as well, the water sheets.
The water sheets?
Yeah.
Okay, that'd be great. Okay, thank you.
Wonderful.
So was there a third?
I didn't hear
okay.
A third, but
the third was of emergency phone numbers and things like that, but that's all included. That's the record.
There is one other thing, though, that I need for the buckets, and I think I can get the city to print them, and that's just a label to go on top that thanks Westland Police, Westland Rotary, Home Depot, Ace Hardware for their contributions to the bucket.
Thank you. Okay, is there any more items we need to cover as far as the buckets are concerned?
But I want to. Here's my email address to let me know.
Hey, Denny, are you married to being on the top of that?
No.
Okay.
No, just give me
no,
a card.
No, Rotary came up
for whatever reason.
Rotary came up with a.
I have a truck. Okay.
thing, and they wanted to put it over this, and I said, no, you can't put it over that, because Home Depot donated these.
Yep.
You know, so they have their thing. I definitely wanted something. It could go right here, okay, or it could be on top.
I've got one that I did for our buckets layout, so I can forward you what it looked like.
Good, because I want Westland Police on top, because they did the most, and you're continuing with the program. You know,
I'll forward that to you this week, okay, and you can take a look at it, and we can make additions and changes.
Thanks,
Denny. You want another project? Can you make one and cut half the side of it out so you can, and then put a laminated piece of clear plastic in there so you could see what's in it?
On what, the bucket?
Yes.
That would
make a display bucket?
Make a cutaway bucket.
So people could see what's actually in it.
Without being able to get into it.
Well, right, it would just be a demonstration bucket as well.
Yeah, and I was thinking if we could come up with four or five of them, I could find you some place to put them in public arenas where people could say, oh, that's what you put in those things. Okay.
Hmm. The point is, it's a starter kit. It's not.
Yeah, it's but I mean, the point I would make would be that no matter who you are, unless you're somebody like us who works with this all the time, it's like, okay, we have a bucket. What am I supposed to put in it? So, you know,
well,
I just think that would
there
be helpful.
Is, that's a third sheet that we could have in there. Is there are numbers of things what you should have in your bucket. And not all of them fit in the bucket, but that was another thing that I was thinking about putting in there was, you know, here is a complete list of things you need to think about.
Okay. So I was just trying to think.
I'll email that to you as well. I printed those up for the buckets that I gave away, and that was pretty good. So I'll email you both those things.
Okay, thank you. We have a guest tonight, and we're at the other old business, but your new business. What would you like to, obviously came to ask a question or say something, so.
Yeah, I'd like to make a few comments about an issue that directly relates to public safety in Westland, and I believe requires your acute attention. You may have seen it in the tidings last week, but there's discussion to make Marion Park, the entire park, off leash. So I have something for you. For you to consider. And just a brief update, this originally went through the public, or the Parks and Recreation Advisory Board.
Okay.
They voted on the 2 weeks ago, 5-0, to reject the proposal. But the group that is leading this proposal intends to go to City Council to argue your case. The first page is a letter that I wrote to the board, your board. The second page in this is the actual proposal that was submitted by Karen Bundy. She's submitted a proposal to make Marius Young entire park off leash. And the third page is a map of Marius Young. You'll see on Marius Young on the map, there's actually two designated areas where dog owners can have off leash pet recreation. There's one down by the river, and there's one by the parking lot. And then the last page of the packet is a news article, and it talks about a young child that was bit recently in the Portland Public School with an off leash dog. So, the motivation for me to come here tonight and speak was I was chased down by a dog on Nixon Avenue a couple months ago. And that forever kind of changed the way that I think about off-leash dogs. I love dogs, but I feel like the current accommodation at Marius Young is appropriate for off-leash pet recreation. I would also like to see at some point some discussion over potentially fencing in that area, kind of like over by Lusher Farms. Lake Oswego has a setup for dogs up there. The nice thing about that is for people that want to have off-leash recreation, they make a choice to go into that fenced area, and they go in assuming the risks of having dogs off-leash. This proposal would create a situation where on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday, there would be hours where the entire park was $100. So I'm not sure how, like, for example, the police would enforce that. It's already difficult trying to enforce folks that are, having dogs off leash in all niche areas of various counties. So this is kind of outside of the disaster preparedness realm. I think that it's important that from a public safety position that we look at this.
Sorry. Very long executive session we just finished.
So I'm happy to entertain any questions on this.
What did you say? I missed the date that this is going to be acted up or presented to the city.
I am not sure when it's going to go before city council. I imagine sooner than later. And I might be able to think about the leash proposal in our city.
I don't know when it's going to fall. I don't know when we've got it on the agenda. I know it is going to come up.
Well, I often walk that park, and I've known for 27 years, and I've three times been attacked by dogs that were off leash in the area where they were supposed to be on leash. All three times, the dog didn't fare well because I have a fairly stout walking stick with me usually. But I did get bit twice, and each time, the owner grabbed the dog and was long gone. I feel that if you take the rules out of it, you're going to have that much more problem. And I see a lot of young kids over there, and I have seen dogs attack people who are walking a dog on a leash. And I think the city would be liable by enacting a rule like that. I think it would be foolish myself.
I can tell you anecdotally from listening to the radio, we share common radio with Lake Oswego, that Lake Oswego's off-leash park at Lusher Farms has zero issues when compared to the number of times that we have off-leash dog problems in our park. So, it works well for them, and it eliminates a lot of unneeded police emergency response time to go towards that issue. Because I think it's an important issue. Don't get me wrong, I'm sympathetic to it. It's just, they don't have the issue. So it doesn't impact the police department.
I'm not familiar with Lusher Farms. What's the difference?
It's at Stafford and Rosemont, and it's got it's the size of our off-leash area at the upper parking lot area, except for it's fenced in.
So the only people what? Who
it's fenced
it's
in.
Fenced.
Fenced in, yeah.
Yeah. The only people who go into it are people have dogs and want to go up there and have the dogs off leash, which is great. I mean, in my neighborhood in Portland, I live in Southwest near the community pool area at Vermont. It's a fenced in area. No issues.
I agree.
I didn't even know we had an off leash area in Marius.
Is it fenced though?
Mm-hmm.
It's just an off leash area.
Just an off leash area.
I can let my dog loose there if I can't keep track of him.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I will tell you, there's times when I've walked in Marius Young and I've come across lost dogs that escape from the off leash area. There's people safety elements of this, but also pet safety issues too.
As far as what I see, and I think what we see in the police department, the biggest issue seems to be more the people who just are walking the trails and let their dogs just go.
Run.
Just let them run. Yeah. As opposed to, having any kind of a courtesy to obey the off-leash areas. That's primarily what I see, but I happen to agree with you on the Lusher Farm thing. To me, it makes sense.
And I'll have to rule on this, so I need to sort of stay sort of fairly neutral on this, but I have to say one concern that I have as well is that if people are running with their dogs, they want to have them off leash because they're jogging, they're much less inclined to pick up the poop and the dog stops. and the dogs out on the field. And we have enough of a problem with that. You know, apparently in our neighborhoods, in some of the areas, people think that there is a flea picker up out here, and they bag it nicely and drop it at the side of the road.
Yeah.
Really? You know, do we have somebody going around picking up that?
I can still mail on it, and I see it quite often when I'm out walking. Uh-huh. But somebody has just deposited their bag of dog poop on top of somebody else's mailbox, is what I saw last week. Like,
and you'll also see same bag in similar places where the person does it every day.
Right.
Takes the dog. So that is something that concerns me.
And
well,
a hygiene issue, which I'm all for, but looking at from the public safety perspective, do you want endorsement from this committee?
I do. I think it would be really helpful to Mayor Oxford and the rest of the council to receive a letter from this committee. And, you know, look at the merits of fencing in the current off-leash area of Marysville. I know that in the past this has been discussed, and it's a very emotional issue, and it was kind of put aside because there weren't people on the other side coming forward saying, hey, this is a public safety issue, and we need to have this area fenced in. So that's what I'm asking for tonight. It would be really helpful to have some sort of letter.
Well, to get it officially on the table, then I move that the committee suggest to the city council that there is no merit to the request to let dogs run free throughout Marysville Park, and also to explore the feasibility, long-term feasibility of fencing in the dog area that does exist.
Second.
Okay, clarification.
Yes.
Because we have two areas of dog area where they can run. You're talking about fencing both of them?
They do both of Lucia Fence. They got a big dog and a little dog area.
Well, no, one is down at the beach, and I think that you're fine there. That one was actually specifically set up because of the topography down there.
Right.
It's got a rock shore and pier out, so it was set up that way. It's kind of naturally fenced.
We only have one area. Area.
Just the upper.
There's two areas. There's the big field, and then there's the beach area. In
Marysville.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
So
do we want to modify our recommendation?
To just mention the off-leash area that's on the...
That's near the parking lot.
Yeah.
So you want to do that again?
Okay.
How dare you to do it.
Or we could move
what he said.
Vote on the modification and then vote on the original.
Okay, so do you want to make a second motion to modify?
Okay, I so move.
Okay. We have a motion and a second to modify the motion, original motion, to include only the dog area near the parking lot.
The
flats.
As a fenced in area.
As a fenced in area. And as a so my next question, though, which is, if we say we don't want to have dogs unleashed, that means we don't want them at the beach either.
That's a designated area, I think.
Yeah, I think it's kind of be
assumed. So it's like two dog parks. It's designated, sorry.
See, originally that wasn't designated. I didn't keep up with it because I don't want my dogs down there because I don't have dogs anymore, but... it used to be, even down there, there was supposed to be leash.
There's a sign up now.
But it turned out that people threw sticks out and were further from the dog, fashion. That's why it was changed.
So, go ahead. You want to comment? We haven't quite got to the motion yet. So.
Okay. So there are two areas at Marysville where folks can walk the dogs off leash. Actually, within the municipal code, if you look at the first page of your packet, municipal code doesn't actually codify Muslin to have a designated area for off-leash pet recreation. That's one of the things that I would encourage in the letter drafted to the city council to include. So we can have an area at Marysville for designated off-leash pet recreation. I think that's great. I think as far as fencing goes, let's just keep it oriented around the parking lot. As far as the second pet off-leash area, there's couple of other reasons, maybe not so much that are related to public safety, that have that demonstrate that maybe that's not the best place to have an off-leash area as well. That is mainly due to pet safety issues, pets drinking water and staying in that part of the park. Is kind of a lagoon, and the water quality is not that great. But for the purposes of public safety, I think it's important that we focus on the upper parking lot area where the off-leash zone is.
Everybody, does that make sense?
So I would be comfortable with not going all the way as to suggest any change to that area along the river, just because I think that this is enough to bite off at the moment, you know, with just supporting the idea of not making Mary S. Young Park complete off-leash zone, and with encouraging fencing for the upper, more easily fenced area. And I think that is just a good place to leave it. I think to retract, you know, the river area part of it is maybe just too much in the face of this initiative that other people are all taking on. And it's a big initiative because I know people who drive their dogs over from Lake Oswego who live in the vicinity of Lusher Farms, and they drive their dog to Mary S. Young Park to run it there. So, you know, there's
a little variety.
But, you know, this is a big movement. And I think there would be a lot of pullback to take that away entirely.
What's that?
What kind of impact would there be on the police department in terms of enforcement, or is there an issue now in terms of the dogs at the park or calls for service related to that?
They come and go. They come in a patch of like a week or two. We'll get a bunch of calls, and then we won't get a lot of calls. Unfortunately, on day shift, we have 4 police officers. That's it. So you got to, you know, spread that over 7 days with minimum staffing of 3. Taking somebody out of a car and walking them down to the trail and away from being able to respond to other calls and stuff like that, it can be difficult. We've tried it. The other issue we've had is we've had a number of injuries and ailments in the police department this year, which has just killed us on overtime. And so trying to even get people assigned on an overtime level to go down there and do it. It's been pretty...
The hope would be more of an honor system, regardless of anything else.
Exactly.
Hopefully they'll abide by whatever the posted rules are.
Okay, well, I'd like to call for us to vote on the amendment, which would be, if I understood it right, we would include the upper dog area but exclude the lower dog area.
Or not mention the river area, but...
Well, I think we need to be real specific as to which...
Mention the upper level.
Okay. So we want to adopt your motion? Is that what I'm understanding, the first motion?
Yeah. First vote is on that amendment to the motion.
Okay. So all in favor of the amendment, say aye.
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 Amendment is carried. All in favor of the motion? Aye.
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 Okay, that's carried. So we will have Denny draft a letter, Ben, so he said what we're doing, and we'll submit it.
I'll work with Mr. Gabriel on that letter.
That'd be great. Okay. I do have another question, but we won't cover it. My question is, the park doesn't actually belong to the city of West Lynn. It's a state park, and we operate in agreement.
Yeah, I was going to say, I know that there's a part of a claim from the original... Family, right?
Yeah.
Mary S. Young. Yeah.
Not from Mary S. Young, but from her family.
From her family, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, she actually gave it to the state.
Which I might point out, and this goes back 20 years of history for me, so I could be wrong on this, but I know that there are some things about that donation that require certain procedures when a structure is going to be built on it, and I don't know what the whole ins and outs. Obviously, the Parks Department does. But just be aware.
I would tell you the guy who did the contract is dead, so.
Yeah, well, there you go, too.
She called Frank Stiles and said, I want to give it to the state for a park, and my husband just died, and I want to give it to them before we get into the estate thing, because he wanted to build houses on it. So.
Oh, wow. Nice.
So she didn't stipulate that dog shall run free or anything?
No.
Yeah, probably not.
Okay.
Okay. That would be a bummer.
I'm gonna.
Does anybody know how long the lease? That's not a permanent lease that we have on.
I don't know.
I think it belongs to the state of Oregon, and our partnership I think just is continues in
that we take care of
perpetuity.
Yeah.
They're glad for us to take care of it.
Yeah, exactly.
They don't have the money to do anything with it.
Okay,
we're going to, on your agenda, we're going to table the sat phone.
Yes, please.
Until Mike is available. Look, I think we covered the clean water thing. That was on my question.
I had something that I wanted to bring up.
Yes, ma'am.
About, that's, and I don't know exactly what this clean water idea is.
It was what we were talking about, the how you create a...
This is a little different. It's an emergency water source that I just heard over the weekend. There was a pumpkin carving contest at the Robinwood station, which David put on, and it was very successful, just a really nice community event. You were there too, Brenda. And somebody who is familiar with Robinwood station said that at one time there was a well there that served West Lynn when it was a much smaller community, and that he thought it was quite deep, like 1,000 feet. And if that's true, and if it is usable or could be made usable, I think that that is kind of important information for the city to, and the citizens to be aware of and, you know, explore as a potential source in the case of an emergency. Do any of you know anything about that?
One thing I know about is a spring that runs under the freeway and comes out on the Willamette Falls Drive and goes directly into the river.
Yeah, I don't ever remember when that was an active fire station. I don't remember there being any kind of pump house or well.
I believe it might be in the shed in the back where you guys are, you know, putting the roadkill now.
Yeah. There's nothing in there except for some, you know, obviously old police stuff, but I can remember when that was an active fire station, and I don't remember anything at all like that, talking to the guys too. That would be kind of an unusual thing you talk about. So.
Well, they said there was a well and a pump house to pump water from the well up higher in elevation, you know, so there could be a gravity fed system. Is it worth exploring even a little bit?
Sally or Angel?
I think this might have come from Sally. Not Sally, not Sally, but Mary. Mary Hill?
Mary,
yeah. Her husband was one of the volunteer firemen there. She was very involved with that. I'll ask her at the next neighborhood meeting, and I'll report back if there's anything like that.
What? Maybe I'll Sally as well, because she's been around West Lynn for so many years, so she may.
If it's down 1,000 feet, though, that takes a lot of effort to get the water.
It just amazes me you have to go 1,000 feet with some of them are all surrounded by water.
It springs and creeks. It amazes me too, but you know, there's all kinds of interesting geographical stuff, and if it were 1,000 feet, it'd probably be.
I would think the building department would have records.
I would think so.
I mean, that's where we would start anyway. I mean, even in the past, as Mike was alluding to, even if there was an existing fire pump there, it could have been decommissioned and demoed for the purposes of not needing to be a functional fire station anymore. So that would preclude any of the research that exists today. But the building officials would have records to go back from the early construction days. So that might tell you if there's a water source there.
Okay, so you're going to just kind of pursue that?
Yeah, I'll talk to a few people in, maybe see if the building department has records that go back that far.
I have no clue as to where they're, but you never know. My kids live in Waco, Texas, and the Dr. Pepper industry started in Waco. And when they were reinventing, they had a hurricane hit their building and tore it about half down, brick building. They got to looking and discovered there was a well there that was full of old Dr. Pepper bottles that had been thrown in there. And so the Baylor University Archaeological Organization came over and dug it out and discovered that it was an artesian well that they had put into the Dr. Pepper originally. So it was kind of fascinating. Now it's a big museum thing. So, but you never know what you'll be able to find if you dig up something. So somebody posted on Facebook recently a picture of a shark's tooth, you know, big. And I commented that I found one of those in my yard, and now I got a dozen people wanting to know all about that. So it's like, I don't know how it got in my yard. I dug it up, digging for something else. And so anyway, okay. Any other items we need to bring up for business?
From clean water.
From clean water.
The discussions that I've had with people on that, one, Barrington Heights has an inventory of all the swimming pools that they have, and they know how many gallons of water they have available. Might not be a bad idea to have that a community-wide thing.
That's.
Because if we needed something like that, I don't know if you guys got that stuff, you might even have that.
Specifically like number of pools?
Locations or stuff like that?
For private residences, since we don't inspect private residences, we don't actually have that information. I mean, anecdotally, when our crews respond, they'll make notes because they're hazard notes. You know, if we're fighting a fire, we don't want our folks to fall in the pool. But as a regular practice, I can't confirm we should keep those for private residences.
At any rate, we've probably got a lot more water available in this community than we think about, because just for that one reason alone, one swimming pool would sustain a neighborhood for quite a while in terms of drinking the water.
Would it be potable?
Well, that's the precaution, right? Because it depends on if it's...
So you have to have the proper filtering.
Right. I mean, it's chlorinated. And some chemicals, some property owners don't use chlorine, they use bromine, or they use other chemicals. It depends on the concentration they use. So, I mean, as far as a body of water, yes, absolutely, it's there. But I would caution you to do a little more research on that.
So the water filter system that I have takes everything out.
Well, that's you. You know what I mean?
It tells me that this thing, the filter system that I bought, portable filter system.
There's definitely a possibility.
Some good stuff out there.
But the question becomes how much utility will it be in terms of all the other residents having the same filtration properties? Yeah.
Where I was going with that, my suggestion is that each family had a method of purifying water, which we talked about again. I mean, if none of them boil it on the stove, assuming you've got enough propane to boil water, or palazzo tablets we used to have when I was a kid and turned everything green and you made stuff with it.
Is the inventory something that you might consider from your neighborhood? I mean, is that something
it was just a subject that came up. How do people, and they talk about this when they get together, what do we do for water? And of course, you all say you got your hot water tank, and assuming it hasn't fallen over and all run out on the ground, you've got 30 or 40 gallons of hot water, and that would last you for a while if you're careful with it. And that's certainly potable water.
Yeah, and the toilet tank.
The toilet tank. Remember not to pull the
handle
down.
Well, the interesting thing about the hot water tanks, we have standards that they have to be strapped.
Mm-hmm.
But I've seen many hot water tanks that are strapped, but they're sitting on a pedestal that is not.
Yeah, well.
They move right out from under them.
I'd
better
go strap my pedestal. Didn't even think about that.
At any rate, this system that I've got, a $35 system, came from Amazon to take care of my family.
Okay.
I can take rainwater off the roof or whatever I want to do with it.
And then, that kind of information, too, might be worth putting an article together for Wesleyan Ready and publishing that on the website. Mm-hmm. And it might be just a good suggestion that just as a prompt to other citizens.
Yeah, put the thing out and look at it again.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they're readily available. And this one has a back flush with a permanent filter on it, so you don't have to replace it.
The other thing, this is a little bit tangential to that, to consider is as new construction evolves, more and more people are replacing tanked heaters with tankless heater systems. So so we just have to keep that in mind as we have on-demand hot water systems that don't store water at all. That message, we just make sure that we're recommending everybody just be aware of what system they have so they know how to use it too.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. Our last item of agenda on our agenda is Christine's handout.
I have handouts, but also I did have another item, and that is there's no meeting in December of this body according to the website. Yeah, is
correct.
That true?
That's correct.
So that means we only have one more meeting. That would be the November meeting to kind of discuss things, and I kind of wanted to ask about the makeup of the board, and what we foresee for next year, because I only got a one-year appointment, and if there are lots of people waiting in the wings who have great energy and great ideas, and maybe more skills than I do in this area, I won't reapply. But I did kind of want to have that discussion before the end of the year. And since we don't have a meeting in December, we have to bring it up in November. So that's something.
Let me address from my point of view. We went several years that we couldn't get anybody to be on this committee. You know, and so there's a handful of us that have been on it for several years, but it's because we're the ones that have kind of stuck around.
Part of the problem, though, was that whenever they listed the committees, we weren't on the list. And so people didn't even know that we existed.
And the only thing I knew about, and maybe this wasn't even part of the committee, was, you know, citing the new police station. That's all that I knew of Public Safety Advisory Board, but that was a different board, right?
That was a whole different committee.
I think up to the Might Be Neighborhood Program, you're definitely on the map.
Okay.
So, Christine, do you have a suggestion you'd like to make? About membership and how we proceed with membership.
Well, this young man right here is very interested in serving the city on doing public safety. This is, we brought David's name up at the last meeting when you weren't here, Chuck.
Okay.
But you've already applied, right?
We're still not at full strength.
No, I think the decision was that because we're so close to the end of the year and we do have some other ones coming up at the end of the year, that they would be made probably by the end of December, the assignments, and then, you know, then we're done for the ones that are up in December. Everything, you'll be up to full strength starting right away in the new year.
So you're
with so few
your
meetings,
recommendations for advisory board members in December?
Taking in applications now, and then we'll discuss those, and then they'll be in December, they'll likely be assigned, and then you'll be ready to start up full strength. You've only got one more meeting, so it didn't seem a lot of point to get somebody to join for 1 month and then
right.
make a change.
Right, okay. So that's the time to
mm-hmm.
So we've got a big rush of people trying to join our board.
Well, I know you have seen David's application.
The experience that you brought to us on the board. So don't set yourself off saying, you know, if you reapply or fill that position, I think we are not in a position to, you know, be full staff. And anybody who's got some background or experience with it is certainly a valid asset.
That's what I'm thinking.
So see if you can think about staying.
So if you think you can turn this up, maybe.
There was Greg Swanson, too, was asking me about this board. And I don't know if he will apply them. But, I mean, that would be another person who's got all this background and information about emergency preparedness and satellite phones. And, you know, I think he could do the city a lot more good than I can.
Well, Greg has made those inquiries several times.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been urged to apply. He's never applied.
Don't know the values.
So you need to be a
valuable asset.
So I'll apply good humbly. How's that?
Thank
with
you.
Humility. So
and we may accept you gratefully.
Yeah. Well, I think if you ask anybody sitting in this committee, do you think you bring a lot to this committee in terms of your expertise and background experience? I think all of us would say not particularly. You know, I'm not an expert in public safety, I guarantee you. I have an interest in it because it's my community, and I want to make sure it's safe and my family lives here. But do I have a lot of expertise in things? I'm constantly learning what I don't know about public safety. So, and I appreciate the committee and the wisdom of the people who are on this committee and their willingness to kind of teach me how to be a part of the community in that specific area. I also have a real interest in the public safety personnel in this city because I think they are critical to us surviving any kind of major disaster. So my interest is really highly motivated towards keeping them in good shape. So, but
thank you. Maybe we've already had the discussion now. We don't have to have it on the agenda.
Okay. Any other items come before the club, Betty?
I did hold my Immaculate Neighborhood meeting.
Did you hold it? I did.
It was a terrible turnout, and I was really disappointed. I went personally door to door to the people and personally invited them. They all said, yes, we really see the importance of this. I even provided a free first aid kit that I put together, and I know what I've got in a first aid kit, that I raffled off for the people that attended. I put food out for them. And but I think there were some very active people that did come, and they are going to gather more information and spread the word out in the neighborhood. But it's a shame.
Same thing happened online. I hate to see apathy like this. That's very typical. Very typical. Did you get any feedback as to why? Did those people ever reach back out to you and say why?
No, it doesn't happen.
I talked to my neighbor when, you know, who was one person who didn't, out of many who didn't come, and she was like, oh, I was sick that day. Like, I should have known, you know. But I think we should do another push after the holidays. Like, you know, I've said this before, what with the holidays on us, that's all people are
going to
be thinking about now.
The workshops are a good outreach, or at least a potentially good outreach.
What is
it? The workshops.
Yeah.
The one that we did do and the one we're going to do.
Yeah.
The one we'll see what kind of turnout comes right before Thanksgiving.
We really have to get the PR better and make that neighborhood web. Website is one that, well, when we had 28 people here in this room for the very first workshop, 24 of the 28, I think it was something like that, got the information through that website.
Yeah. The lesson they do, what they call it, in Kansas.
Next door.
Next door.
Reminds me, I thought, did you move this back? It says to return.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, let me just ask, before we close the meeting, I was going to ask you, would you like to say something about
this? Just to say real quickly about what the handout is, it's a local man who lives over here on Mark Lane who is building these bicycles that generate energy. And that little pack on the back in the picture is the generator, and it sits up on that stand, and you can... You know, it's a way to recharge your cell phone, or you can use it to commute to work and be recharging your cell phone. I don't know all the details of it, but the question is, do you folks want, do we want a demonstration, or is there interest in this group to know more about this kind of, you know, alternative emergency type of homespun energy?
Well, it doesn't necessarily have to be in this meeting, but I those of us that are interested, I would certainly would like to see it.
How about sustainability?
My question is, that's pretty nice with a bike. I bet it's spendy.
I think he said it's $1,000 or something like that. And I refer him also to the REL group, Resiliency of Westland. I think they'd like to see it. And, but sustainability is a good idea too. But I know he'd be happy to come demonstrate it for us here if we wanted to invite him.
Well, I'm just spitballing. I think the tie-in that I would see would be a, you know, I could see like maybe linking to a YouTube video of his product with the tie-in to how it can help in disaster preparedness. You know, give him the ability to have that. We would post the link.
That would have been a great demo at the fair.
Right, or at fairs, you know, those type of things. I mean, you know, it's a little bit of cross marketing, but you know, but that's where I would see that coming from. I mean,
I'm sorry.
No, please go ahead.
I was just going to say one of the more interesting links to energy things is the last year's science fair at the high school. They had one of the sophomores there who's creating an energy machine that would run his folks' home almost indefinitely. And I was like, you're kidding, I want to buy one. So and he sat right there and demonstrated how it worked. It was just absolutely fascinating. So,
because personally, I think this thing's awesome, but I wouldn't think about it for disaster preparedness. I'd be like, it's great because it would charge my iPad and my MacBook, so I'd be happy with that. But but that's where I would think the tie-in for us would be something like that.
I'll
reach out to the sustainability committee and ask if he has a YouTube or anything like that. Or have him make one. Have him make a YouTube that's centered around the idea of disaster preparedness. It'd be a great marketing platform for him, and I can see us doing something like that where we plug that out there. Local business, local guy. I don't know. Just me.
Mr. Chair, can I make one comment
before
we adjourn? I made it early before everybody got here, and some people weren't here. With the buckets, once they're put together, and that in itself is a job. So I've got both the Boy Scouts. I said that they would be interested in helping collate all the stuff into the buckets. And also, a group from the high school, an activities group, said that they would be interested in it too, and it's just a matter of when we set up the times to do that. The delivery of the buckets are something that Grant and I have looked at, and on a certain level we can do it, but if it gets up to the point where we've got a lot of people then deserving a bucket, we talked about maybe the PR of having one of the officers, while they're out on patrol, if they're not on call, delivering a bucket to the people, you know. I'm going to run that by Mike.
Yeah, we can make that happen. That's something we can make.
I think it would be a great PR.
Yeah, absolutely. We can make that happen, too. Absolutely.
So who gets the buckets, are you deciding?
You do now. You have a meeting.
I have a bucket. So maybe I'll try and encourage some of my neighbors to get shifted.
You haven't got a bucket yet.
Huh?
You haven't got one yet.
No, I made my own.
Well, you'll get one from me.
Okay.
And then
you'll get one and you'll like it.
Share that with one of your neighbors in the game, if you wish. It's just like the gas turn-off things in it. Not everybody has gas. Or some have automatic turn-offs. And they can share those with their neighbors.
So we are going to try and make a presentation to council thanking you for your support and all of you that have done that, which is everybody in the council, and at that point in time you will all be able to.
Bringing you your bucket.
You know, just as an FYI, one thing I did get that I put in my bucket and also in my car is I got a pack of 10 Mylar blankets for so cheap from Amazon. And so I put like a couple in each of the cars. And then some in the bucket. And they're really thin, they're really big.
Yeah. By the way, thank you for suggesting those water chlorinated pills. They were perfect.
Great. Great.
Okay, because he's got to go and take his recorder with you, we're going to adjourn the meeting.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks.
Thanks,
no worries.
We only ran over 17 minutes.
No worries.